Welcome to Packet Pushers, a podcast on the data networking industry where real people discuss events, technology, and work life in the networking industry. This week, we're talking with HP about their Expert One certification program. But before we get going, remember that we'd love to hear your feedback and get your input about today's show, or in fact, anything you'd like us to discuss. So feel free to send an email to packetpushers@gmail.com and let us know what you're thinking. Alternatively, check out the podcast website at packetpushers.net, leave comments, follow us on Twitter at Packet Pushers, or you can become a fan at facebook.com/packetpushers. If you've got time to go and leave some nice things about us on iTunes, because a lot of people come and join us and follow us on iTunes, that would be fantastic because that helps more people to know that we exist. But enough waffling by me. Let's get into the meat of today's show. As always, let's welcome Ethan Banks. Ethan, how you going?
Craig, I am doing good. We got a new wireless LAN up at work this week. We did a Cisco Clean Air solution. I know we're talking to HP guys. Just you go la 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 for a while and pretend that I'm not speaking right now. But we did. We put in a wireless LAN controller with Cisco Clean Air APs, and It is one of the first new technology projects I've been a part of where I was actually excited to see how it worked and what it brought to the table. And it was genuinely a cool thing, really neat technology that I was having a lot of fun with. Once you get the wireless LAN controller built, you plug in an AP and it's truly plug and play. It's really quite something. There's always tuning to be done, of course, but I mean, wow, for the results that we got and as quickly as we got them, I'm really taken with it, and I'm going to be blogging about it at some point.
Okay, I was talking to Jennifer Huber the other day in a wireless podcast, and we were talking a little bit more about the clean air and how the spectrum analysis. In fact, I had a really good podcast just a couple of weeks back, which you can see in the history about wireless networking. People should listen to it if you're interested in following more, because that's just on wireless networking. And I'd like to introduce today Rebecca Harvey. Rebecca is the Director of Product Management for Hable HP Global Certification and Learning. Welcome to the show. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Thanks, Greg. I have been with HP for about 5 years now. Started out in the consumer exchange organization, working with their call center teams, and then moved into HP networking, where I've been for the last 2 years. And then effective November 1st, I just moved into the certification and learning world.
Hey, welcome to that.
Yeah.
That would be a bit of a change, wouldn't it?
Yes, a big change, although I've been in training and performance improvement industry for about 15 years, so I have some background.
Yeah, you're not new to the game. Well, let's get straight to the heart of it. I mean, HP has the Expert One program. I think we talked previously, and I think a lot of people are familiar. There's been various blog posts and content from various people talking about the Expert One program and stuff like that. So why don't you tell us about the major certification tiers and tracks within the Expert One program? Let's assume people know what Expert One's about.
As has been communicated, the Expert One program goes across the entire data center. So we have technical and sales certifications for servers, storage, networking, software, let's see, PCs, printers, just about any certification you could imagine. Do the depth and breadth of HP's portfolio, we've got it.
Printers. Now I'm excited.
Sure you are. I didn't say I was going to focus on that in this call. I just, it's part of the portfolio, so I have to represent it.
I think that, you know, that IT is a spectrum of opportunity, don't you? Okay, so obviously, you know, we want to talk a lot about the networking certifications and the focus of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if we've got somebody here who's looking at taking up the HP certification path, what's the best way for them to prepare? Where are they going to get resources and materials to start finding out what the exams are and how to go about it?
So I think the best way to prepare, first of all, is to find out what's available and what they're interested in. So, you know, hp.com/expert1 is absolutely the right starting place for anybody who's interested in an HP certification. And we'll tell them, you know, what sort of prerequisites are required based on their, current level of skills and expertise. And it will, you know, really guide them through how to find out more about the certification programs.
So if, you know, I wanted to back up just a half a step here, and let's take a certification track that a lot of our listeners are going to be familiar with, which is the Cisco track, where you would start out with an entry-level certification, kind of an associate level, and then move up to a professional or an expert level, depending on what track you're interested in. Is there an HP track within Expert One that kind of maps to that for the networking guys?
Yeah. Absolutely. So we start with the Accredited Integration Specialist, which is our AIS. It's really the foundational networking components, networking technologies, really implementation and deployment of kind of the smaller networking solutions. Then it moves into the Accredited Systems Expert, which is the equivalent of a CCNP level, and then moves up to our Master Accredited Systems Engineer, which is the equivalent of CCIE.
And what are the big, I mean, when you graduate from one to the other, what is the big difference? Are you covering new technologies, new platforms, both?
A little bit of both, but the main difference is just in terms of size and scope, scalability, interoperability. You get to a deeper level as you go up each layer.
Mm-hmm.
So at the Master Accredited Systems Engineer level, you really are focused on at the enterprise level, large, multi-scale, complex data center integrations.
So would that be like A-series kind of stuff? I mean, this includes some of the H3C platforms at this point, I assume.
Yep, absolutely.
Sure. Okay. So then, you know, if you want to prepare for one of these exams then, is it classroom-based training? Is it, you know, on-the-job stuff? What does HP really want to see their candidates do to get ready for an exam?
So we have a wide variety of options for the individual, and it really is individual choice. So we have classroom-based training, in person at approved training centers worldwide. We have web-based training. We have self-study options. We have virtual lab instructor-led. So, you still have time out of office, but you are actually in your office in a synchronous learning environment. There really is a plethora of opportunities for learning. And it really is based on the individual choice and what works for him or her.
So there's no one right way to do it. I assume there's different cost, the price is going to factor into this, though.
Absolutely. Yep.
So what would be like, if you're on a budget, say you want to do this as much as you can on your own, because you don't really want to fly out somewhere to take a class or have to travel. What would your track be then for training?
Well, the web-based training is free of charge. And so, starting with that is always a good place to start. The self-study options, we have various PDFs and, technical documents and things that are available for learners, also free of charge. There are new textbooks that we'll be coming out with in the next 6 months. Those obviously will not be free of charge.
Textbooks like as in official course curriculum, that sort of a textbook?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. And so that textbook would have what in it? Would have course material and then maybe lab exercises? Or
yes, course material, lab guide, in addition to probably exam prep information.
Kind of like would map to maybe a Cisco Press kind of a book where it's some sort of an official exam and maybe there's a CD in the back with sample questions?
Yes.
Gotcha.
That's the hope and the plan.
Well, that's what people are expecting. I mean, that's what we know. We'd be comfortable with that type of an outlook, and we'd expect to see that sort of happen. I know trying to come up with some new way is just going to make it more difficult,
Yeah. Now, one of the other options that we will have as well moving forward are, iPhone apps and different learning modalities for, handheld devices and those types of things. So those are in their pilot stage right now in the infancy, and we're working through those and we'll be launching those, mid-year.
So what sort of learning would come on that handheld platform? I assume you say iPod. I assume you mean iPad as well.
Mm-hmm.
Would be included. So is that more of a flashcard kind of a thing, or how would that application work? I know it's just pilot, but...
Yeah. So it's a variety of things. Everything from our existing web-based training scaled down to work on Palms and Droids and, iPhones and iPads, as well as new content that's created specifically for those delivery formats.
Wow.
Let me ask you a question about demand side, which is, what are we doing? Part of this is that the success of a certification program is about people wanting to be certified with the HP program. And mm-hmm. obviously, the other vendors have their programs, and some vendors have been very successful. Cisco's well recognized, and everybody wants to be Cisco certified, and you know, all that type of stuff. So what are you doing to generate demand amongst, you know, resellers and customers to drive, you know, acceptance of the HP certifications?
Well, there are multiple things that we're doing. You know, first and foremost, the Expert One launch was a huge step in the right direction in terms of gaining awareness for the program and building visibility. Secondly, you know, working with our reseller community, helping them understand the value of certification, what it brings to them, how easy it is for them if they've already invested in another vendor certification program, you know, how easy it is for them to migrate to an HP certification. Those are just some of the things we're doing. You know, Lyle Spears, unfortunately, is not on our call. He is our marketing director and would be able to answer that far more eloquently than I did.
Well, maybe there's one thing you could fill in. You just were talking about how easy it would be to map if you've got a Cisco certification over to an HP certification. And I remember reading something about that a bit ago. If you were a CCNP or CCIE with pretty much some studying and a one test, you could have an equivalent HP certification. Is that still part of the program? Or
absolutely, yep. There are fast track options. They're a little bit different than the Juniper fast tracks that are out there by the same name, which is a little unfortunate, but that's where we are. So we have a fast track option for Cisco certified engineers today. And basically, it allows them to bypass the prerequisite requirements. So if they are a CCNP, it allows them to immediately jump to our ASE level program. So, you know, it saves them anywhere from 7 to 14 days, depending on where they're starting from a courseware perspective. Now, certainly there's, you know, the self-study timing varies by individual, but the classroom-based time is about 14 days, depending on which level they're coming in at. So it allows them to bypass that prerequisite requirement. It also has, we have very specific recommended learning paths for them that say, hey, based on the knowledge you have with your current certification, here are the things we recommend for you to either attend the classes or do the self-study options to quickly, you know, move to that examination schedule.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it kind of sounds like the Cisco, if you've got those certs, that is your prerequisite, effectively. It kind of takes the place of that. But if I don't have a Cisco cert, what would the prerequisites be then?
If you don't have a prerequisite or a Cisco certification, you start at the AIS level. Now, you can always fast track immediately to the exam. If you've been if you're someone who's been in the networking industry for 10, 12 years, you have the technology foundations, and you really know your stuff, you can always sit the exam. And, if you pass, great, you move on to the next level. But the AIS is the prerequisite for the ASE, and the ASE is the prerequisite for the master ASE.
So meaning you have to pass, you don't have to have taken the course. If you think you can do it, you can sit any of those tests at any time, but you do
Correct.
Have to go in that order.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Whereabouts are the, so what do the exams look like? Are they the traditional ASE and the AIS, their Prometric tests, and is the MASE a Prometric test as well?
It is. Yes. So there are Prometric testing centers. We have both online as well as in person, you know, at a Prometric proctored exam site. And it depends on the level of certification, depends on the program, whether it's, you know, servers, software, storage, networking, you know, where there is an HP online exam versus a proctored exam. The cost of those exams differs. Obviously, the online exam is a little less expensive. It's about $75 versus the proctored exam, which is about, I think it's $175.
So the exam for the ASE is what, is it a three-hour format, two-hour format?
The ASE, I believe, is a 3 to 4 hour exam.
Right.
And there may be multiple exams for the ASE level, depending, again, on the portfolio.
So on the technology set?
Yes.
So if you're networking as opposed to server, the server might have different multiple strands to it, whereas the networking might have two, the servers might have three or something, according to the
Correct.
To the technology
yes.
set. Because Expert One is across the entire, is across your entire product stack. Like we said
Correct.
Earlier, it includes printers. So, which is important. I think there's a future in that. Don't you think, Ethan?
Oh, I started out my career working on HP printers back in the day, believe it or not. Sitting there hardly knowing what I was doing, the screwdriver in one hand and a bunch of replacement parts on a desk and trying to get this laser jet apart. I really wish I had a schematic manual because this is not working. Yeah, fun times.
I think we all started there, didn't we?
Oh, everyone starts somewhere, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Rebecca, we were just talking about these different exams, and some of them are proctored and so on. And but basically, it sounds like they're all sit in front of a screen and answer the questions sort of a thing. Did I get that right? Or are there other options, or like maybe some of the more advanced exams where you would have to do a hands-on kind of a thing, you know, the dreaded CCIE lab and so on?
Yep. So lab exams are an area where HP is focusing attention in the next, in fact, my team is focusing their attention in the next 6 months or so, moving towards the practical exam for our master ASE level. It is an area where we've had a deficit, quite honestly.
So the intent is to beef it up. And would that be, what's HP's prime motivator to make that happen?
Purely to ensure that the people have the skills necessary. I mean, there's a limitation to what you can truly validate with multiple choice questions, right? Mm. So being able, you know, no matter how creative you get or innovative you get in building, you know, customer case study examples, those types of questions, you know, that certainly helps. And we've done that. But, you know, being able to demonstrate the skill is critical.
So would you say that HP is pretty sensitive to, I mean, it sounds like you guys want to do more to preserve the integrity, the reliability, the certifications because of brain dumpers that are out there and these kind of things.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We've been going after them with a vengeance, managed to shut down a number of sites that have been, you know, claiming to sell HP IP, as it were, as it relates to certification exams.
So in other words, going after websites that are selling test dumps and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much luck have you had with that in the overseas? There's some of these countries that are kind of basically, you know, we don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. Well, there are a number of things that we're doing in addition to just trying to shut down the websites. So there are things we're doing at the ProMetric testing facilities themselves to prevent that. We're doing things in terms of the question banks that we're building and the number of questions. We've also got restrictions on how frequently someone can do a retake. All of those types of things that are fairly common in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But they're things that we're doing as well.
Well, I got a question about retakes in a minute, but one of the things I've heard that people are doing in the industry is sort of I think the term is psychometric profiling of the person taking the exam. So you kind of have a feeling that maybe they clicked through too fast and got too high of a percentage. And so this test result is in doubt. Do you guys do any sort of profiling like that?
I would have to defer that question to our exam manager. And I honestly don't know the answer.
Oh, see, even if you don't know, you could have said, oh, yeah, we let's plant fear and uncertainty and doubt out there.
there's always some connotations associated with any sort of profiling. So, you know.
Yeah.
You're hard, well, Ethan. So, you're hard.
I know. I want to hear what I want to hear, you know.
What I can tell you is that we are from a pro, you know, we're in very close partnership, working in very close partnership with ProMetric. Things like how quickly someone completed an exam are definitely things we're looking at.
Mm. So if I do go in and I fail this exam, when can I try again?
So there's no waiting period for a second attempt. So you can attempt it same day, you know, and part of the reason for that, we recognize that, you know, a lot of people have to travel to these ProMetric sites. So, you know, test anxiety, all of those types of things may have played had a contributing factor. So there's no waiting period for the second attempt. Third or subsequent attempts for our HP Zero exams, which are the ProMetric exams, we have a minimum of 30 calendar days.
Okay.
For our online exams, we have a minimum of 7 calendar days.
So that's a reasonable number for a back-off period so that people could go away and not just start to learn all the questions off by heart.
Yep.
Okay, so once you've been certified, how many times, obviously you want to keep people current on the latest products and to show that they haven't had their brains drop out the back of their head because they turned into marketing or management people. So how long do they have to...
Wow.
How often do they need to recertify? I mean, obviously, you know, does it vary or is it consistent across the portfolio?
No, it does vary by portfolio. You know, we are moving towards a very consistent recertification period, although there are people within our organization that hate that phrase. But revalidation, if you will. You know, once you've passed an exam today, that same exam cannot be retaken for at least 12 months. So we have at least a 12-month window for all of our certifications. Some are longer.
Okay. And so once you are certified, do you get any special privileges? Like, is there an enhanced access to a website? Is there a login? Is there, you know, is it just the pride of being able to puff your chest out and get it tattooed on your, you know, saying you're an ASE? And ours?
Yeah, there are a number of benefits that come with being HB certified. You know, first, obviously, you can stick it on your resume and, as you say, puff out your chest a little bit. But there are also very tangible benefits of certification as well. Everything from, you know, the sort of the standard tchotchkes that prove that you're HB certified, well, not prove, but allow you to puff up your chest a little bit bigger, I guess, to, you know, log on, you know, access to proprietary information behind the firewall. Once you're HP certified and we've validated that, you have access to, you know, information that other people don't have. We are expanding our benefits again with our focus around Expert One and the growth that we are, you know, aiming for in the next couple of years. You'll see the benefits improve greatly. You know, I was listening to the podcast with Liz Burns from Juniper, and, you know, she was very forthcoming that their benefits are not all that they would want them to be. I would echo that sentiment from an HP perspective. Benefits are not all that we would want them to be, or more importantly, that our certified community would want them to be. But we are focusing attention in that area over the next, you know, 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, well, you know, if you want to be able to sort of, you know, send out people to be nice to me and, you know, send me textbooks on a regular basis, I'm sure open for that.
Absolutely. And, you know, those are the types of things that we're talking about, that you get, you know, not only do you get beneficial access to, you know, restricted, quote unquote, restricted content, but you also get access to the whole community. And so, you know, that's a huge benefit. And growing that community and ensuring that people have access to the subject matter experts, that, you know, that is another benefit of our program. Currently, we have quarterly tech talks where we invite actual members from our R&D teams to talk about what, you know, what they're working on, what's coming. And we invite our certified community to those. Also at events, you know, certified professional dinners and meet and greet sessions and all of those types of things. So
now, Rebecca, what can you do online if you're preparing for an HB certification? Is there forums or Twitter feeds or blog sites, things that people should be looking at if they're trying to become HB certified that's going to help them out?
Absolutely. So we have our Expert One community, which is, you know, just started and is growing. Certainly, that's a great place. We can point you in the right direction. If you you go to that site and have very specific questions, we can help you out there. Trying to think.
Now, is that more of a, this is about our certification programs, or is that like a technical resource? Hey, I'm working on this concept and I'm struggling with it. Can someone help me out?
Well, our goal for it is to become a technical resource as well.
Okay. So it's something that you're growing in that direction.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's got a bigger picture. Let me ask that one of the challenges that we're going to have with the HP certifications, or at least for the bulk of us, so for people who are potentially switching over from Cisco to HP, is getting to have some experience on the equipment itself at the CLI. Are you now at the Tech Field Day where we spoke with Melman and the others? We really spelled out our need to get access to an emulator or to get access to remote lab equipment. Is there any possibility of that coming true under the Christmas tree this year?
So we already have a remote lab solution that we've been using to train our partners on for the last 6 to 8 months. And that remote lab solution allows them to really get in and kind of has real sandbox capabilities. And again, I'm, you know, I've been in the training industry for 15 years, so I'm not the techie guru here. But what I've heard is that the participants who use that remote lab environment absolutely love it. They feel like it gives them as close to real world hands-on experience as anything they've, you know, experienced elsewhere. And so that's a great benefit that we have and that we are continuing to expand.
And that's limited to partners at the moment?
That's been the primary audience at the moment, not limited to them.
So you could let us know in the future when people like me, you know, I'm not a customer, I'm somebody who might be interested and I could get access to it in the future. Is there routes for that?
Yep, absolutely. Our approved training centers will have access to it, and you just would be looking for we will be looking for a approved vendor who has access.
Okay. The one last thing that we also talked about previously was having access to software emulators so that we can run them on our own desktops, and knowing that those emulators exist inside of HP only adds some sauce to the fact. Now, I've written extensively on my blog about this. You know, is that still, you know, the emulators have value beyond just training. They're also, you know, a lot of companies are actually using them to validate change control internally and to conduct internal training and internal review and proof of concepts of various, you know, non-critical things. Obviously, is that just a pipe dream? Is that ever going to happen? Or is it, you know, is there still discussions going on?
Well, I can tell you the things that you describe for the emulator are exactly the things that it's being used for today. The difference between a tool that's available internally versus a tool that's available externally is, frankly, financial. How much money do you want to invest to make this tool, you know, break-proof for our customers and our partners?
It doesn't have to be break-proof. So it just has to be... Just release it as an unofficial, unsupported.
Yeah, well,
you're laughing, but seriously, that's what, you know, really, yeah. I don't want to call it open source, but something more after that model where, hey, there's no guarantees here, but if you want to help learn, you want some help learning the product, here's an emulator. Go crazy.
Absolutely. And we have talked extensively about offering our emulator in a beta environment.
Why don't you just host it in the cloud? Give us access to it on EC2.
There are a number of reasons why it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Well, so. I bet they're not.
They all start with legal.
It is still in the works, however. I'm not giving up on it.
It's not ruled in and it's not ruled out.
Right.
Okay.
How's that for KG? You know.
No.
Well, I'm pretty sure all of our listeners have already signed the non-disclosure agreement with HP. So it's just between us. You can say. You can tell.
You and 2,000 others.
Yeah.
So, Rebecca, I've got one question from somebody who wrote in. They were talking about asking me for a show on networking certs, which is part of the reason we got you there. And he says he noticed there's some conflicting information on the website. This is Mark Gallagher who emailed me about which Cisco certs feed into the Delta test for SIA infrastructure. It indicated that any CCNA or CCDA, but nowhere was there any mention of CCNA security being allowed. This seems odd since CCNA security was consistently called out as the prereq for SIA network security. Is that a misprint on the website? That's a fairly specific question, but I wonder if you know off the top of your head.
I do not know off the top of my head, but I can assure you I will take it back and find out. And if it's a misprint, we'll get it fixed.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'll get Mark's details forwarded to you, and then we can get back to him and answer
his
question.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Well, I think that's about it for the show this week, and thanks for listening to Packet Pushers. We should be back again in a week or so, or maybe two. It's coming up on Christmas, and we're going to get a little bit more sporadic as the Christmas period approaches. Make sure you come back and listen to us. Ethan, thanks for being on the show this week. What's coming up in your week this week?
I have a project to plan to cut a public IP address space from one block to another. Always fun, good times, no lack of things to break when you do that.
Oh, that's going to be challenging. You've got to find everything first.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You don't even know what all the services are on a new IP. Fantastic.
Well, and, yeah, oh yeah.
And Rebecca, thanks for coming on the show today. You got anything exciting coming up
Absolutely.
This week?
This week, just the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday, and then next week off to Istanbul for the ETSS event.
Cool. Istanbul is one of my favorite towns. It's gorgeous.
I've never been. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, I've been there three or four times. It's fantastic. And, of course, where can we find you, Rebecca?
You can find me at the Expert One community site.
And we'll have some links in the show notes for this week. And you can find Ethan at ECBanks on Twitter and on his blog at packetattack.wordpress.com. And I'm Greg Farrow. You can find me at my blog at etherealmind.com or on the Twitter at etherealmind. And remember, too much networking would never be enough.